Now, we've been going low for quite a bit, and we ended that series last week. That does not mean that we end off going low as Christians. We'll be going low till we go home. So that's just part and partial of Christian life, to go low, to be humble, and to say, Jesus, please help us. And in fact, humility was the keynote at intercession, and a couple of conversations this week. And so let's always just keep our hearts before Him, not to walk in spiritual pride, not in any arrogance, so to speak, or any pride. So just keep on checking our hearts. But as we said at the beginning of the year, Shofar has a prophetic theme every year, and this year it's known for love. And praise God, love is quite wide and broad, and so we can do a lot of things with that. But we'll be stepping into a new series from today, Known for Love, and there's different spheres in your life. You need to know personally that you are loved by the Lord. You need to love yourself. Some people is better at loving themselves than others, but you also need to then love within relationships, within covenant relationships, within other relationships, within church, family, community, and the nations. And so we'll step through all of these ones without hitting landmines so that we can grow. Into what do we grow, by the way, as a church? What's the heart? Christ-likeness, yes. Do we agree on that? Okay, great. That's a good start. You almost had me worried there. Thought this sermon might be tougher than I thought. But no, we want to walk, we want to grow in Christ-likeness, that's it. And so we're going to challenge in love, we challenge each other. And I get challenged by the Word each time I open it, but I also get challenged and empowered. How beautiful is that? How beautiful is that, that you get challenged and empowered simultaneously? If, obviously, you bow your knee and you take it in humility from the Lord. Moving on, today's first part of Known for Love sermon series is first love. Now, quickly tell me, what is first love? No, it's not a church in Wellington. What is first love? Initial feelings that you have for someone. Okay. I need to help Edna quite a bit this week, it seems. But yeah, it's not only that. What is first love? Yes. First thing, that's a very good test. Remind yourselves of that this week. The first thing that you think of when you wake up in this week. What is it, by the way? If you don't say coffee, I know you're lying. It used to be surfing. Now he's got a kid in his arms. Amen. Okay, Dirk, please don't give away the whole sermon. Just care for the child now. Please, Dirk, come on. But what do you think of first thing in the morning? Work, okay? I like honesty. Coffee. Afrikaans coffee. Yes, I understand. I understand that. What else do you think of when you wake up? Niks, Stephen. Okay. Demi, welkom te doen vir jou ook. More sleep. Yes. Reason for living. I like that. That's quite deep. I like that. What else? What day of the week is it? That's when you're homeschooling, you're lucky. They almost had you this morning. What is the first love? Quickly explain to me. You don't have to give a theologically correct answer yet, maybe after the service, but what is the first love and what is your first love? Tough question or not? Ons is op pad soontoe, so jy is net so vinnig soos Dirk vanoggend. Maybe I should stop asking questions. The thing you love the most. That's bottom line. Your first love is the thing you love the most. Should I ask what you love the most? Should I not? I believe the Holy Spirit's already doing that. This morning, the question is my heart with my first love? My heart is always with my first love, by the way. But the question from that will be, what is my first love? As a Christian, as a follower of Jesus, what is my first love? And we're going to quickly roll that out. Just another disclaimer for me, Ephesians 4:15 calls us to speak the truth in love. And this is not maybe the easiest message to package and then to bring across, because Sue knows where we're heading this morning. But it's necessary to do so in love. Who's ever had a tough conversation with somebody, but they had spoken the truth in love with you, and it changed your life? And so the heart is, this should change my life. And I'm not saying, and I'm not standing here because I have the perfect first love priorities in my life. I'm standing here because I know this is what Scripture calls us to do. And not only Scripture, I believe this is prophetically something that the Lord is saying to our church, or at least putting out there and saying, hey guys, let's think, pray, and ponder about this. Now, on the 19th of April, if I'm not mistaken, we had intercession one evening. Demi Stephen and I were praying, and the Lord just led us very clearly to pray for our first love, and just call people into the relationship and back to their first love, Jesus Christ, in that sense. And so we prayed and we stood, the Holy Spirit hovered there for quite a while. And so I thought, wow, this is quite intense, but let's pray this through. The next day, I walk into a meeting on the Friday morning, and there's 5 to 6 pastors of the churches around, and we pray about a certain worship ministry that we're going to have together. And the first thing the guy says as we start praying is he's calling people back to their first love. He just starts praying over the churches. So this message, I don't believe, is only for our church. I believe it's maybe for the body in this area. I can't say globally, but it is a message for the believers around us and maybe for us. And he just starts praying on the Friday. On the Saturday morning, I prepare for the celebration service, and I'm in free worship. I'm just doing my thing, which is not great, but if the Lord pitches, then you know it's Him. And I just start praying as I sing to the Lord. And the words that keeps on coming back to my spirit. Now, this is the third thing, in other words, in 3 days' time, the Lord says, sow unto your first love. Sow, as we sow seeds. Chris said, there's seasons. Sow unto your first love. Sow seeds unto your first love. What are you sowing in your life? What are you doing with your time? What are you doing with your money? What are you doing with your space, your time, your family? What are you doing with your life, and where are you sowing it? And so it was a conviction for me in that moment, just the Lord calling me and saying, hey, Retief, sow unto your first love in your life. So those three things. Now, after that, I did as the Bible said, because I wanted to be sure this is the Lord's heart. I asked 3 fruit-bearing believers in our church to say, hey, guys, I believe this is a word that the Holy Spirit is highlighting to me for our church. Please pray about it and let me know if you concur, if you have peace, if this is the Lord. But all 3 came back. And so I was kind of in good space to say, yes, Lord, I believe this is what the Holy Spirit is laying before us. How's your relationship with your first love? So that's the background for that. Today I know that you might be in, Christ is just wholeheartedly your first love. There's just no 2 ways about it. I'm nobody's judge, hallelujah. But the Spirit is amongst us, and He will help you if you let Him. So you might be here saying, well, Lord, you're my first love. There's nothing else. I'm like, good on you. Praise God. Pray for me. The second thing might be, you're not sure. Lord, are you? Are you my first love? Sometimes the Lord's my first love. Well, I'm sitting in church. Am I not? I think He is. So you're unsure. And the third one, you might be sitting here today and just realizing, Christ, you're really not my first love. And even in that moment of honesty, as we've seen in worship, the Lord's going to come and help you. To say, hey, I'm going to bring you back to that place. Because unfortunately, if we don't do it, there's repercussions for us now and eternally. Matthew 22, verse 37 says the following. And He said to them, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. Who's ever thought of that scripture? That's kind of... Who's found that easy to do? In fact, who's found that impossible to do in a human perspective? Definitely. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. That's a lot. That's a lot of heart. Nademi, that's a lot of heart. With all your soul and with all your mind. The other translation says strength. With all your strength. That's a lot for Bernard as well. This is a great and first commandment. And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Boom. Who's found that easy to do? So we think we've been set up here today. The Lord says, hey man, there's strength and weakness. Relax, I'm busy. But we also need to heed to what the Holy Spirit is saying. Hey man, is my heart, but not only my heart, is my actions, is my life evident of Jesus Christ being my first love? Let's go to scripture that Sue so beautifully highlighted for us. Thank you, Sue. Revelations 2. We're going to look at it in context first, and then we're going to apply it to our lives as much as the Holy Spirit helps us. Again, I say this, I believe this is a word for our church, but I believe it is an individual word, firstly and foremostly. I'm not standing here and thinking I'm actually preaching for Pete, and Pete is not even here. No, I'm saying the Holy Spirit will minister to you what He needs to minister to you. Even in preparation this morning, I'm not sure how I should answer this question for my heart. I'm just saying, Holy Spirit, help me. Where is my first love? And is my first love the priority love in my life? And so that's the place from which I come. But let's look at the church of Ephesus in Revelations 2. What happened to them and what the Lord had said to them. To the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil and your patient endurance. And you cannot hear with those who are evil, but have tested those who call themselves apostles and are not. Well done. And found them to be false. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love that you had at first. Remember therefore for where you have fallen, from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, and here I should listen, if not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Yet this you have. See how beautifully he goes. He makes it soft, hardcore, and then he sandwiches at the back. That's how you should do it in counseling, by the way. Ah, you look amazing. What the dingus. I love you. You need sandwich it. All right. So that's how you do it. I'm just joking. The Holy Spirit leads you. Sometimes you just leave out the bun. Yet this you have. You hate the works of Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. This morning we're just saying, hey, let us just hear, what is the Holy Spirit saying to me? Not what is he saying to my brother, what I think he should be saying, no. What is he saying to me and what is he saying to us then collectively? To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. Now obviously, what verse stands out here for us? Which one is the patty? Which one is the one that we need to work through? Which one is Sue's verse? Four, yes. Let's go to verse 4. Let's have a look there. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. The King James, which I even like better. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You've left your first love. It's awfully quiet in here, so let's remember that he's been speaking to the church of Ephesus. Now, quickly, just a bit of context. We're going to look at what he said to them in Revelations. Firstly, you can go to the next slide, please. Firstly, the book of Revelations is one that I fear in a good way. If ever I preach anything out of this, it's the most commentaries I'll ever read. Even Pietri will be quite proud of me of reading the amount of commentaries when it gets to Revelation. You just don't take it on with... And so, I've been reading up a bit, and just to give you... Head of background, the book of Revelations was written by Apostle John. He was actually from Ephesus, but at that stage he was in Patmos. Anyway, and the date there, the date and the time was about 81 to 96 after Christ. So you can go to the next slide. That's just to set the stage. But the purpose is quite important. Now, I've read the following, how Jesus will come again. Revelation just shows us how Jesus will come again. This is the most layman terminology that I could understand. And so I just put it up there so that you can know if you don't. He will win the fight against the devil. That's what the Revelation tells us. Jesus, and that's a good thing to remember this morning. Jesus will win the fight against the devil. Jesus will save his people. Thank you, Lord. He is with them now, as we evidently have seen this morning, and he will be with them beyond the end of time. John writes to teach and correct Christians. So when we read this, we see it in context with Ephesus. We know that he wrote to them and said, hey, well done on certain things. But he also says, hey, guys, you need to slightly adjust there. Why? Because you don't want to lose out. And in fact, you want the reward that there is in eternity. John writes to teach and correct. He tells them to change where needed. Who loves this discipline? Who loves it? I see actually no hands. Who likes discipline? Who likes the love of the Father? Who likes the love of the Father? What does the word say about the love of the Father and discipline? He disciplines those he loves. Edna says she loves the fruit of it in my life. He encourages them to continue to do the right things. And so Jesus doesn't come and just say blah, 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 blah as a Facebook post and just have it there, just go and change. No, he comes sweetly and say, hey man, I love what you do. I love you guys. It's amazing what you've done. But hey, just be careful. Just check where's the first love. And then lastly, the style in which this book is written is obviously in a prophecy. Who's gotten lost in Revelations and just reading it? Definitely. I've been freaked out sometimes. But when you sit down, you see what other godly people, fruit-bearing people have done and read, and the Holy Spirit helps you, you can knuckle it down. John calls this book a prophecy. The Lord speaks to John, and he then writes to us, write what you have seen, write what is happening now, and write what is going to happen after these things. In other words, it's actually a good thing to know what's cooking in Revelations. Am I not right? It's maybe a safe bet, good investment to know what is happening in Revelations. And we can go on. Let's quickly work through Revelations 2, those 5 to 7 verses. Not much, but let's just quickly see what the Lord told Ephesus before we ask the Lord what he might be saying to me and you. Revelations 2 verse 1 says, to the angel of the church of Ephesus write, the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand, who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. Now that in itself is just weird when you read it the first time. But luckily, it's not that weird. Now firstly, he writes there, some comment of the commentary says, literally to the angel of the angelic host given by the Lord. And you can actually see that in scripture. We don't have time to get into all the nitty-gritty, but actually writes to the angel that protects and looks over this church. Other commentary says, well, he's just writing to the pastor of the church. Be that as it may, he's speaking to the collective people. That's important. Who's speaking to them? We already know it's Jesus. In this case, it says, the words of him who holds the 7 stars in his right hand. Those 7 stars, the word tells us, is also the 7 churches to whom he is writing. And so he's holding it, which is a beautiful word to remember here. He holds the church in his hand. Who likes to be held or held by the Lord? Who feels held by the Lord this morning? I do. We had an amazing time with the Lord, and we're still having an amazing time with the Lord. Thank you, Lord. And he's speaking into lives. He's bringing healing, restoration, redemption. He's also now shining a light and saying, how's your heart? But he is the one that holds the church in Ephesus. Not only that word is important, there's another word of importance that I see in there, who walks among the 7 golden lampstands. Who walks. If I'm walking around, I won't do it now, but if I walk around and intertwine between the rows, touch, bump, by mistake, on people, there's a place of intimacy. So firstly, he says, hey guys in Ephesus, I'm holding you. But I'm not only holding you. I'm not a God, as we heard this morning in Ephesians, that is far away. In fact, I'm walking between you. Who knows that God is walking in your home? Who knows that God is walking in your church? Hopefully that is experience. God is walking like God did with Israel in the camps in the night as they camped out in the desert. God had walked between the tents. So beautifully. And here again, we see this beautiful illustration of an intimacy with the Lord. So he walks and he holds. Let's go on. Verse 2 and 3. I know your works. Who of you have got a business? John's got a business, bit of a factory. Do you ever go down into the factory and walk amongst the people, if I might ask? Yes, you do. So he knows their toils, their work, and I must be honest, probably the lack thereof sometimes. And then he might come and give them a stern revelational warning. Where's your hearts, guys? But so as John would walk in the factory, checking, hey guys, are you actually pulling your weight? Are you doing your job? Likewise, God walks and he says, I know what you've been up to. Who loves hearing that? God knows what you've been up to. Three of us. It's only by grace that I can put up my hand. Patient endurance and how you cannot bear with those who are evil. In other words, they were a discerning bunch. They saw stuff on Facebook that they didn't like. They just scrolled down. And in fact, they unfollowed those people with heresy and false prophets on Facebook. I thought it was a good joke, but anyway, moving on. And found them to be false. And so he says, hey guys, you work hard, you toil hard, well done, I've been walking, and I've been seeing what you're up to. And in fact, I see how you discern false doctrines, heresy, and false prophets. Well done. You've got a heart for purity. Who of you guys have a heart for the pure word of the Lord? The purity of the Spirit. I really have a heart for that. Because yeah, any form of perversions just pollutes and kills. I know you are enduring patiently and bearing up for my name's sake, and you have not grown weary. This sounds like a good CV. I wouldn't mind having that. What do we read here? We read deeds. They had deeds. In other words, they had actions. They didn't just church. They were busy. They actually had deeds and they toiled. Toiled, the word is kopos, and it actually means to labor to a point of weariness. So they were quite busy. Who of you have ever done that for the Lord? Worked and toiled until a place of weariness. All the setup people will probably now raise their hand and say, yes, I've toiled for the Lord, if you know it. Thank you guys for toiling for the Lord, by the way. But keep your seatbelts on. They were doing the deeds. They were doing all the right deeds, doing the things. They were after purity. And then, yet he says, hey guys, you've been doing a lot of stuff, and I see the works, great endurance, great toiling, yet let's just quickly look at your hearts. Let's go to verse 4, the jugular. But I have this against you. You have abandoned the love you had at first, or as we see in the King James, because thou hast left thy first love. Now very quickly, what is the first love? What is that first love? We're going to break it open. There's three words that's important. Left, first, and love. Those three words are quite important. Are you with me? Let's just look at those three. Maybe firstly, left. The translation that we're reading at the moment says to abandon, but the King James says left. Now, you know, if this is love, either somebody can come and snatch it away and take it away, and then I've lost it. I've lost my first love. Or, as Scripture says, and please note here, the Lord's going to work in my heart and test my heart. Or I have willingly, unknowingly and a little bit of knowingly, have left, abandoned my first love. And that's what the word says. It does not say that Retief went to church and he lost his keys. And he cannot find his keys and he cannot go home now. No, it says he's put his keys down, but he has removed himself. I've walked away from my keys. My keys are still in the same place. Who knows, God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And this I can tell you today from Scripture, your first love has not changed his position. God will not change his position. Your first love will not change his position. Unfortunately, the enemy comes with lies, luring us away, and then we leave, abandon, and do not lose our first love. You see it beautifully in Luke 15. With the prodigal son and the father. That's a beautiful picture to remember this. What did the father do? Did the father move? Probably from the kombuis to the trekker, to the kombuis to the trekker, to the TV, to the rugby, to the bride, to the kombuis to the trekker. But he did not move much further from there. There wasn't trekkers then. That's just a joke. He didn't move much. He stayed on the farm. He stayed right there. But the prodigal son decided, I need to move. And then at the end, he moved back to his first love. And so we see that quite clearly. Then what is first? First, we've seen there, foremost, before, beginning, best, chief, or former. The phrase first love is interlinked there, or it's two meanings, both applicable, I believe. So your first love can be as you've loved at the beginning. Who's ever, who's been married, had a bit of a honeymoon phase? Who said it last week? Rinda, I think, said it's still the same. Say for them, some other people, hypothetically in another dorp, might have had the experience that they're not in the honeymoon phase anymore in their relationship. But there was a first love in that relationship that was amazing, and it doesn't feel like that anymore. So that's the first meaning. In other words, chronologically, in time, it's different now than what it was. And then this one I quite like, and I think if I should choose one, is my favorite. My first love to be my priority love. What is your priority love? Where does your heart go to as a priority? What are the things? What are the things that it goes to as a priority? And then the third word we said left and or abandoned. The other one is first is important, that we've done now. And the third word there is agape. Can you, Emmy, if you don't mind, just quickly. Agape is not an easy word to quickly describe, but there's a nice video clip, 3 and a bit minutes. Listen to it. They put it in a nice way, but I believe also to go and read it up and make it your own, because here the word speaks of agape love. So thank you for gotquestions.org. Let's quickly listen. What is agape?
What is agape love?
What is?
We are going to answer that question. The Greek word agape is often translated as love in the New Testament. How is agape love different from other types of love? The essence of agape love is goodwill, benevolence, and a willful delight in the object of love. Unlike our English word, love, agape is not used in the New Testament to refer to romantic or sexual love. Nor does it refer to a close friendship or brotherly love, for which the Greek word phila is used. Agape love involves faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. It is distinguished from other types of love by its lofty moral nature and strong character. Agape love is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Outside the New Testament, the word agape is used in a variety of contexts, but the New Testament gives it a distinct meaning. Agape is used to describe the love that is of and from God. God is love. God is not merely love. He is love itself. Everything God does flows from His love. Agape is also used to describe our love for God, a servant's faithful respect to his master, and a man's attachment to things. The type of love that characterizes God is not a sappy, sentimental feeling that we often hear portrayed. God loves because it is his nature and the expression of his being. He loves the unlovable and unlovely, not because we deserve to be loved, but because it is his nature to love. And God must be true to his nature. Agape love is always shown by what it does. God's love is displayed most clearly at the cross. God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. We did not deserve such a sacrifice. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God's love is unmerited, gracious, and constantly seeking the benefit of the ones he loves. We don't deserve his lavish agape love. God's demonstration of agape love led to the sacrifice of his own son for those he loves. We are to love others with agape love, whether they are fellow believers or bitter enemies. Jesus gave us the parable of the Good Samaritan as an example of sacrifice for the sake of others, even those who are against us. Agape love, modeled by Christ, is not based on a feeling. Rather, it is a determined act of the will, a joyful resolve to put the welfare of others above our own. Agape love does not come naturally to us. Because of our fallen nature, we are incapable of producing such a love. If we are to love as Christ loves, that agape can only come from its source. This is the love that has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, who has been given to us when we became his children. This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Because of God's love toward us, we are able to love one another. That answers the question, what is agape love?
There you go. Now you'll remember all of that, I'm sure. Who knows, it's a bit of a tall order. God is speaking to the church of Ephesus and says, hey, where's your agape love, guys? Where's your agape love? What, maybe in that segment, what is the words that stood out for you? Just quickly. Any? Commitment, yes. Willful decision. That's one that just rocked me. I remember I was still lost, not saved yet. I'd met Edna. Was just down and out about the brokenness of the world and everything and just stuff that's messy in the world. Speaking about love, I don't know how we got there. And she told me one evening, it was late one evening, she said to me, Liefde is a keuse. I was quite offended by that. I was really offended. I've never heard of such thing. Love is a choice. I know it's not only a choice. It goes with a lot of feelings and emotions, and there's other types of love, so please hear my heart. But what she said there just hit me like a nail. Because for the first time, I thought I needed to feel a lot of stuff before I could love. Yet she told me, Liefde is a keuse. Love is a choice, a decision you make, an act of the will. What else stood out for you in that clip, maybe, of agape love? Gracious, yes. I love the fact that he says you can only have it if you get it from the source. The Lord is not saying to Ephesus, hey guys, you need to create it, because you can't. It's not of you. You need to willfully choose it though. So I believe our will is actually the biggest thing in this scenario. Joyful determination. Who's ever had a joyful determination to love their children? Sometimes you have to have a joyful determination to love your kids. Thanks, Dirk. Hallelujah. What else? What stood out in that clip for you about agape love? Shown by what it does. Yes. I love that. But I think the one that stood out for me, or the things that stood out for me, was faithfulness, commitment, and an act of the will. An act of the will. Yet it comes from the heart. As I said there, and I believe we don't have time for it today, but it's beautifully described. Agape love is beautifully described in 1 Corinthians 13. Let's meditate on that to see what it says. As it said to Ephesus, and what I believe, agape love can only come from its source. How can I, or how can Ephesus in this case, agape God? They need to let God agape them first. How well have you let God agape you lately? Thank you, Corin. How well have you let God love on you lately? Before I ask you the difficult questions, are you loving God? Have you let Him love on you? Have you meditated? Have you reminded yourself of the way in which Jesus has agaped you? And He's agaping you every single day. Unconditionally. Not because you still have spot and blemishes like myself. Let's quickly move on to the last three verses for the church of Ephesus. So what had they to do? What could they do? They had this predicament. What can they then do? Christ gives them the answer. You can go to the next one. He says to them, remember therefore from where you have fallen. Repent and do the works you did at first. If things are struggling in my marriage, maybe it's sometimes this is a good thing just to remind myself of what worked 10 years ago. Date, time. A movie. Gifts. Apparently that's somebody's love language in our home. Gifts. Flowers. You know, stuff like that. But if I honestly when I agape my wife, there's maybe a moment that I should go sit down, remember the things that once worked. That was really love unto her. Oh, I've put myself in a bit of a fickle now. I just realized that. Moving back to Ephesus, we're talking about Ephesus. Repent and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place unless you repent. Ephesus, let that sink in. It's not just a good, gracious idea. Hey, love the Lord your God. Christ is quite honest. I'm making light of it, but maybe this is a moment we should just let the Spirit speak to Ephesus. I will come and I will remove your lampstand from its place. My glory, my anointing. You will be left with a lot of good works and toils, but it's not with me. Because I'm a one of love and the heart. So you can do a lot of churchy stuff, Ephesus. But if it's not with your heart, I might just leave. You might go to places, ministries, churches where stuff really happens and a lot of good things happen, but God is not part of it. Verse 7, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. To the one who conquers, I will grant to eat of the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God. It's maybe a far-off thing for us, as it was for Ephesus, but it's something that they needed to realize. Hey guys, it must be serious. There might be serious loss here if this doesn't happen. And likewise, you want to eat of the tree of life in the paradise. Three things that stood out there for Ephesus was, remember how far you have fallen, not how you have just chilled and how you've just meandered away, now how you've fallen, Jesus said. Then it says repent. What does repent mean, Ephesus? Ephesus is falling this way. Repentance is, Lord, I am convicted in this moment. Lord, I apologize. I repent and I turn 180 degrees and I go back to where I came from. And then the last thing, do the things that you did at first. It's not just, my heart is all yours. There's a fruit. The word says to us, bear the fruit of repentance. Again, I'm treading lightly here because I know it's not a flesh thing that you can do yourself. It is a grace of the Lord. You decide. The biggest thing at stake for Ephesus is their will, I believe. What will you? Guys, I've noted in my life and in many lives, the will is quite a strong thing. Stronger than we sometimes think. And so I believe the will is at stake here because there's a very fine balance to get there. Moving on to us, as we finish off, what should we do? You've heard what happened to Ephesus. You heard what Christ, through Apostle John, had said to them. You saw their challenges, and then you also see the application, the remedy for that, for them. But what does it mean to us? Let me ask this again. How is my first love, and what is my first love? I don't know if any of us are willing to say anything now, but you're welcome. But what is your first love? And is it Jesus? Is Jesus Christ your first love? Or what is the Holy Spirit maybe highlighting this morning that is in the place of where Christ should be? I can do it. I can be in ministry. You can be a pastor and do a lot of God things, but be very far from God. I can look very busy. I can, in fact, tell you the whole time that I'm busy. And I have been doing so. I repent because I have been busy. But you can be very busy in ministry, but very far from your first love. And so this is not only a test for me, but I believe also a test for you. What is the first love in your heart? And then show for table view, what is your first love? Do we want to do a bunch of stuff and look good and toil hard? Or do we want to do all of those things plugged in into a beautiful relationship, plugged into the source of agape, to agape? So before we say, known for love, known for love, known for love, we need to say, what is our heart plugged into? And I can't do that for you, neither can you for me. But we can humble our will and say, Lord, please come, agape me so that I can agape you. Strangest thing. It's beautiful how way God, imagine giving a command to your kids that they cannot do. That's just not good. I don't want to say evil, but that's pretty evil if you do that. Who would ever give their kids a command that they cannot do at all? Yes, I know sometimes you stretch them. But you will not give them a command that they cannot do. The beauty of the word is many times God had asked people to do impossible things, right? Has the Lord ever told you to do something impossible? The beauty of God is this. Within the command comes the ability to do. He's a good father. He's a loving father. He will never command you to do something that you cannot do, that in fact he does not help you to do either. He will lead you both to will and to do for his good pleasure. Romans says to us, faith cometh by the hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Rhema word. If he gives me a rhema word, but it's whack, just because he said it means it's possible. I don't care what the culture think. I don't care what finance and economy think. I do not care, because he has spoken. So if he tells me, hey, love me with your whole heart, your whole soul, and your whole strength, guess what? It's impossible for me, but it is possible for him through me. Love your neighbors, you love yourself, Retief. It's a long shot, Lord, but it's possible for you. If you just agape on me, I can agape on them. What is the other things that might be our priority loves? What is the priority loves that arm wrestles for the first love of Christ in your heart? Only you know. It might be yourself, a love for yourself. I might just fall so deeply in love with myself, believe it or not. Only Edna can understand that. But the world these days have fallen so in love with themselves that the first love is quite obvious. And so you need to lay down being in love with yourself and say it's no longer Retief that lives, but it's Christ that lives in Retief. What else can there be? Mammon is a very, very obvious one. I don't even want to mention it. But what else can take the priority love in one's heart? Family, yes. Comfort. Never heard of her. Subtleties. Yeah. Yes, as you see, I focus on gym much too much. Grappy. Grandchildren. That's another grand answer from Sue. Grandchildren can be. Mrs. Hy's liever vir hulle. God will not give us such a command. Christ will not call Ephesus to a place of first love if it wasn't actually beneficial for them. If God calls Stephen to agape God perfectly, you know what God is actually doing? He's actually loving Stephen. This is a deep one. Let's listen closely. If God is saying to Stephen, agape him with everything, is it because God's in need? He doesn't have enough likes and shares on Facebook and he needs that affirmation for him as a God? No, he knows it'll be the best for Stephen. And in fact, if Stephen can get that right through the Holy Spirit and grace, it'll be the best for Demi. It'll be the best for their children. And in fact, if they do that, it's the best for me and for us. He does not ask us to love him so with our whole hearts and have him as a first love because he's in need. Because he knows it's the best for us. Because then the competing priority loves will not get us into hell. Let's just put it boldly. It will not steal our calling because there's priority loves. There's other things, idols that we've put before him. I think that's deep enough for now. What's the things that I can do? If the Spirit today convicts me and says, hey, Retief, maybe I'm not your first love in all, what's the things I can do? We've looked at Scripture. I should listen. Heed. Listen. Just take a while. Who said it somewhere today, yesterday, in fact, last night at a function, somebody said, we just don't have time to just meditate, just think things through. Take time out and say, Holy Spirit, speak. I'm listening. Speak, just as David said, search me, and then listen. Second thing, remember, how was it, Johan? How long have you been saved, if I may ask? Saved. Walked the road with the Lord. 20, 30 years. For some of us, it will be 20, 30 years. Thinking back, those days with Christ. Those rough around the edges, in my case, days with the Lord. For me, it's 14, 15 years. Don't know what it is for you. But just think back. Think back at the road you've walked with him. Remember the things that you did with him. Remember those times you had with him. And I'm not saying you're at a worse spot. You might be in a much better spot. I'm just saying, take time out and remember those things. What was the things I did? Did I have fellowship? How long did I spend time in the Word? Did I eat? Did I hunger for the Word? How did I pray? What did I pray? What was my heart's condition in those times? Third thing I believe that is important is a conviction. You need to listen, remind yourself, and then wait for a conviction. If there's no conviction, move on. You're in a good space. Let's not go look for trouble. He's not running around wanting to condemn people. He's just saying, hey, there's a place of conviction. Let's deal with it. I'm a good dad, and it's for your best. But don't heed your ears to the enemy for condemnation, walking out of here thinking, oh, he's not my first love. No. Say, Lord, just speak honestly with me. How can this help? I can have somebody that speak into my life. I say, Petri, what do you see? If you're doing this, this, and the other. I see a bunch of works, but you remember that passion you had at intercession 3 years ago? I haven't seen that. What's up? I'm like, oh, Petri. I don't know if I'm prophesying to myself here, but anyway. It's a lie. Hallelujah. Wait for the conviction moment. And if there's a conviction moment, what do I do with conviction? If I'm saying, okay, Lord, there's other priority loves in my life that's not Christ, the one that I'm following, what do I do with a conviction? Yes, I'm sitting with a conviction. I have a conviction. What do I do with it? You repent. Yes, you repent. Only by words, by actions as well. How do I do that? I also ask, Petri, hey, keep me accountable. I've said I've got a passion. I had this conviction. There's stuff that I need to change. For me, by the way, for myself and Edna, because of burnout, we had to take Fridays off, our off day actually off. Now, some people that might offend, but if I had worked and done ministry in this time, what am I doing? I'm not loving on God as I should. And so for me to take the Sabbath, I need to be accountable by, or held accountable by Edna or somebody and say, hey, are you still keeping that time out? Edna actually does that, and she's smiling. So anyway, repent, change. Robertson, one of the commentaries that I read, hallelujah, says about repentance, it is an urgent appeal for instant change of attitude and conduct before it's too late. Fifth thing that I just dotted down there, I'm not steering away from Scripture, I'm just seeing the things that I work through that I think might work for you. Fifth one is the realization. A revelation of what, Retief? Of the following, 1 John 4:19. We love because He first loved us. If you do not have a revelation, I'm not saying you're acquitted to have Him as your first love. I'm just saying be careful to try and love Him back if you don't have a revelation of being loved in the first place. If you're not being agape, don't think you produce agape. You might produce something other than agape. So maybe in the listening, in the stopping, in the conviction, say, Lord, I don't have a revelation of your love at the moment. Or I have not had that for a while. I remember 10 years back or 15 years back, I was just so in love. But I've fallen into works. I've fallen into tick box exercise. I've fallen into the fear of man and wanting to perform for other people. Lord, just take me back to a place where I don't have to perform and look like the other person. Where I can just have freedom in worship and where I can just love you and pray because I want to pray, not because I have to pray. Have a revelation of the fact that He agapes you first and He's still agapeing on you, as the Americans would say today. You can agape Him because He perfectly agaped you. Third last thing, choose your will. It's an act of the will. To agape is an act of the will. I'm not writing off feelings. I think I'm probably one of the pastors with the most feelings that I know. My wife would say amen to that. She didn't want to put me on the spot. But I'm for feelings. I'm for emotions. Make no mistake. But I've learned that liefde is ook 'n keuse. Love is also a choice. And the things you like and love and the things that you give your primary love to in life. Maybe some of us need to take our will. Jesus was standing in Gethsemane. He didn't have a good feeling. He didn't feel led. He did feel led, obviously. But his flesh didn't have this warm, comforting feeling to thinking, hey, let's go have a few lashes and die on a cross. Now he agaped because he chose to love you and you and you and you. And likewise, we called to say, Lord, help us by that love to choose to love you and to lay down our will. And in fact, I need help with my will from the Lord as well. Seventh thing, ask for help, and that's where it comes in, the Holy Spirit's help. What is the fruit of the Spirit? The fruit of the Spirit is also love, I want to see more love in my life. Say, Lord, please help me. I want the fruit of the Spirit in my life. Romans 5:5 says, who pours out the love in our hearts? The Holy Spirit pours out God's love into our hearts. Who's ever gone to the shop and your kid wants something, but they don't have the money? What do? You give them the 20 rand to give to the tani, to give them the change, to give them the sweets. God is faithful. So God, I don't have love to pay you, Lord. He'll in fact give you the love to give to him. He's such a good dad. He'll give you the 20 to buy the stuff and he'll let you keep the change. He will not expect you something that you cannot do, guys. But we need to say, hey, I'm willing to take your 20. I'm willing to humble myself and say, hey, I need your 20. Please agape on me because I want to agape back onto you, Lord. Not George, but George, it might include George. Such a moment. Ugh. It's probably because I should finish. And then lastly, do the things that you formerly did. Do the things. You might have not done anything formerly, but the Lord might put on new things on your heart to do. Hey, Lord, how can I agape you? Will you stand with me, please? Because lastly, we want the reward in verse 7. I believe not only the reward one day, but I want the reward now. I want to commune with him, I want to walk with him, and I want to see that. You can go to the next slide, just lastly, that verse. To him who overcomes, I will give to eat from the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. He wants us to have him as a first love, a priority love with our whole hearts. He will help us as the source to firstly receive it, but then also to grant it and give it back to him, to willfully choose that. Because he will reward us with the kingdom here on earth, I believe, but he also rewards us with eating from the tree of life, which is in the paradise. And today it might not be that far off. You might thinking pension, one day, whatever the case may be. He's a good father. He thinks much further down the line. And he says, hey guys, please take heed to what my spirit is saying to you. Have me as your first love, because this is thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years at stake. Do not go for priority loves that will least lead you into fulfillment or the lack thereof for 2-3 years, 2-3 seasons. Do not bow down to stuff in your heart that might lead you to have it for 10 or 20 years. I'm your Lord and I'm calling you into thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years. That is what is at stake. That is what I believe was at stake for Ephesus. And that is why he lovingly comes and says, hey, have me as your first love. Let's close our eyes. Father God, thank you for your time. Thank you for your love. Thank you that you disciple us. Thank you that you discipline those you love. Thank you, Lord, that this word can only be translated in individual form through your Holy Spirit. And I trust that that be the case this morning. Lord, thank you that we know we cannot do this on our own and that we need your love. And so firstly, we want to just come and confess 1 John 4:19. We love because he loved us first. I come and declare my need. As beautifully as Bernard and his team put it together this morning, we come and just declare our weakness briefly by saying, Lord, we cannot love unless we love, are loved by you first. We cannot agape you or neighbors or people if we don't receive that revelation and have that in us firstly. So if you, that's for you, and you just say, Lord, I want a fresh revelation. I need, in fact, a fresh revelation of how much you love me. Just put up your hand, just in honor to the Lord, and say, Lord, please love on me. Come and agape me, because that's the only way it works. Thank you, Lord, for these hands. Thank you, Lord, for these hearts. Thank you that through your Holy Spirit, you will agape in the season. You will love on them. You will give fresh revelation. And we just say to the shame and the condemnation and the lies of our identities in this place, be gone in Jesus' name. Be gone. Be gone, Lord. Thank you for breakthrough in lives so that the love can come through. The love of God can seep through. The agape revelations can come through in hearts and in minds and in lifestyles in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, because you're faithful and you do not stop fighting for us. And we thank you for that, Lord. Then, just in your in your own heart, if there's something that's a first love in your life that's not God, just have a moment of repentance. Just in your own heart. If he convicts you this morning, it's not condemnation, it's conviction. It's a still small voice. It happens in the moment. It doesn't come 3 days later, by the way. It doesn't come tomorrow morning with a nagging, sickening feeling that you feel far off from him. That's not the voice of God. The voice of God comes now through his spirit in the moment of conviction. It's not always lekker, but you will notice it comes with conviction, not condemnation. So if you have a moment of conviction, just repent to the Lord this morning. And lastly, a simple prayer, just saying, Lord, I declare you with my will, an act of the will. I want to declare you this morning as my first love in faith. Not feeling it yet, but I want to declare it. I want to willfully choose it. Then will you pray after me? Father God, thank you that we can gather this morning. Thank you that you'd never leave us, nor forsake us. Thank you that you agape us first. That you love us whole. Jesus Christ, I willfully choose for you to be my first love. And I know that only you can do it through me. Holy Spirit, help me. Holy Spirit, lead me. Holy Spirit, fill me with agape love of God daily. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Lord, we thank you. We ask that you seal what you've done this morning. We thank you that you will lead us and help us. Thank you that you have grace on us. May you be the first love of us as a people. And Lord, we declare, may you be the first love of this church, not by might, nor by power, but by your Spirit, as you've declared over this church way back. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you, guys. God bless. Please have some coffee. If you need to walk in accountability about what we've done today, please walk in accountability with somebody. Otherwise, we chat next week. God bless.